She hit her head, fell straight back, I think. And so the Gallaghers are out of town, so we're here, and that's all that matters. I'm glad we're here this morning. And I'll hopefully my voice will go for two sessions instead of one. It's not doing real great. But this morning, turn me down just a little bit. This morning, the Sunday school lesson is in Ephesians chapter number 3, the first 13 verses. And it's a blessing of having, being able to serve others. And I think as a Christian, as a believer, we ought to desire to have that that hope that we can be useful and be helpful to other people in the walk of life. And Jesus said he came not to be ministered to, but to minister unto. And if there's anyone that should have been ministered unto, it would be the Lord for who he was. And he had every right to expect others to to help him and to be servants of his. But he came as a servant. He came as a sacrifice for you and I, that we would have life through his name. And so the lesson this morning covers this thing of servitude and being able to be a servant and serving other people and being able to work together as Jews and Gentiles. The book of Ephesians is one of those books that is a book that explains that the Lord came not only for the Jew, but he also came for the Gentile. And the church of Ephesus was made up primarily of Gentile people, but also had some Jews. And then when you get to the book of Galatians, Paul deals with a subject matter or deals with a problem that comes up in the church that the Jews were really trying to put extra things on the Gentiles in order for them to be a part of the church. And so there was a great controversy during Paul's early ministry because it was something entirely different, entirely new, that the Jew and the Gentile would be able to serve the Lord together. So here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul starts out for this cause, I, Paul. And he refers back, and we'll look back a little bit, he refers back to what has just been said. And here Paul serves as a prisoner. He says in verse number 1, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So he's writing to the Gentile believers. And literally Paul was in prison because of his ministry that was unto the Gentiles. The Jews despised the Gentile being involved in the work of the Lord. They seemed to be always against the Gentile people. And so Paul got into many troubles, got in jail most of the time. Paul was in jail because of his ministry to the Gentile, people. And so this verse here, verse number 1 down through verse number 13, we find Paul is explaining to us his serving as a prisoner, and this verse really begins a prayer, which is uninterrupted until you get to verse 14, and he uses the same phrase in verse 14 as he does in verse 1, for this cause, for what has been said, what has been done. And Paul began saying, for this cause of what the Lord, he wanted to remind the Jews of what the Lord had done unto the Gentiles. Chapter number 2 of Ephesians gives us the method of Gentile salvation. And of course, Ephesians gives us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's the method the Lord has always used. That's the method that he used for the Jews and then also to the Gentile, for what he reminds them, what God has done for them. In verse number 14 says, this is chapter 2 now, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make it in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So Paul tells there the Ephesians in these verses in chapter 2 that the Lord has broken down that wall of division. They are now going to serve together in one body, and that was certainly a mystery and certainly a problem in the Jewish mind, because serving the Lord had always been a exclusive Jewish method of serving God. And so Paul says, now we're going to have one body. And of course, we know that body is the local church. And he says, we're going to serve the Lord together. The middle wall has been broken down. The partition has been removed. And now he's made twain one new man. So Paul is talking about serving them as even in prison and writing these things to them. So we have the Jew and the Gentile, and they have gained access. They have been granted access by the Holy Spirit to the very presence of the Lord. And those who had stood afar off, those that were aliens, those that were strangers, those Gentiles now had been brought nigh. And this was a point of controversy in those early churches because of the division that had been before. So he continues to tell them, he says, I'm a prisoner. Paul never uses the term, he's a prisoner of Rome. Paul always uses the terminology, he's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he tells them here in verse 1, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And those, the reality is that the Lord had put him in that position, and now he is in prison because of his ministry and his work to the Gentile people. Paul was in the bonds of Rome at the time he wrote the letter to Ephesians to the Ephesian people because of the service to the Lord, because he was was a preacher of the gospel that now had been opened up to everyone that would come by faith. Paul was in Rome those 2 years, and he was in prison there during that 2 year period. He wrote those four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So when Paul even was in prison, he was a servant of the Lord, giving out the message and the word of God and the message that the Lord had had for him. It was for the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew, but he was living and working and serving God for the Gentiles. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll turn there just for a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. They did not even want Paul to be preaching. Chapter 2, verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, who both killed, he's talking here of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. So Paul is writing to this Gentile church, Thessalonica, and he says the problem that he was having was with the Jews, declaring that he should not, forbidding that he should even preach to the Gentiles. And he said, but they have killed their own prophets. They have destroyed their own people. They are the ones that were guilty of destroying, killing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore their sin has built up to the uttermost. And Paul says, I'm going to serve you anyway, regardless of what different ones have said and what different ones do. And so in these first couple of verses, Paul tells us here that he's a prisoner. He's there for the because of the Gentiles and for the ministry. Then in verse number 2, 3, and 4, he talks about a dispensation or a stewardship time, a time of being used of the Lord. It says, for if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, this mystery that Paul is referring to here is nothing more than the New Testament church. The Jews, they saw the coming of the Lord, but they did not see the church of the Lord. They had their prophets, they have their prophecy. You can read in the Old Testament is almost as many prophecies of the coming of the Lord as we have in the New Testament. And they did not see this period of the church age, and therefore Paul was in jail, in prison, because of that. He says, but he had been given this dispensation of the grace of God. The stewardship, that word dispensation means oversight, overkeeper, time watcher, a time period. And Paul says he had been given that administration of the grace of the Lord, that it should be offered to all people, regardless of who they were, where they were from, what nationality they were. Paul says God has given us the dispensation of God's grace, the stewardship of spending and sending out the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call that mission work in our time frame, our period of time. Paul understood his role, that God had a plan for him, and that was a steward or an overkeeper, oversight of the grace of God that would be offered to everyone that would believe. And Paul, yet being a Jew, offered those things to the Gentiles, and they became part of the family of God. They became part of the church, different churches in the eight places where Paul went. Churches were always established. They were local congregations. Many times they were mixtures of Jews and Gentiles, and Ephesians and Galatians are those two books that try to bridge the gap to make it possible for Jew and Gentile can worship together. And then there are many churches in the New Testament that Paul went to and Paul started and was a result of his ministry that were purely Gentile churches. And so there's a time frame where there's a mixture. The Church of Jerusalem was primarily Jewish. Most people, most of those thousands that were in that early church that's spoken of in the book of Acts and in the Gospels, it was primarily Jewish believers. But as they spread out, they began to tell the story. Persecution came, and as it came, so did the spreading out of the apostles. And as they went out, they preached the gospel, and different people heard, different peoples heard. And on the day of Pentecost, there's a multitude of different languages there that are represented, different people, Gentile people, and they heard the message of salvation. And of course, Paul going out, being that apostle to the Gentiles. So Paul was a steward. Paul was a overseer. He kept watch. He was a servant, not only when he was in prison, but he was a servant when he was serving and revealing the Lord and telling the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul's revelation here in verse number 3 is how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. This mystery is the hiding or the hid local church, that Gentiles would be a part of the ministry and be a part of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would become part of the family of God, serving the Lord together. And Paul said, God showed me, he revealed to me that mystery. And he said, now you know it, you hear it because of my my revelation. And so we find that these years that Paul spent in jail were very productive as far as sending out the message to the churches in written form. And of course, those years that he had of going different places, preaching the gospel, starting churches, believers being baptized, and churches being established. And now he writes back to them, encouraging them in the things of the Lord. Look at verse number 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, And here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Here Paul is serving the church and the churches by revealing to them the mystery that the Gentiles now are part of the people of God. Verse number 5 says, in the ages that were before, in other ages, was not made known. It was a mystery. God didn't reveal it to the Old Testament prophets. God withheld that from them. And God, in their prophecies and in their writings, they skip all the way over to the coming of the Lord. The book of Zechariah, the book of Malachi, many of those Old Testament books have much prophecy giving concerning the coming of the Lord in power and in glory, setting up His kingdom. That's why when the Lord came and His disciples were following Him, that's why they asked Him, said, "Lord, are You now going to establish Your kingdom? Are You going? Is it time now for Your kingdom to be here upon this earth?" They had no understanding. They had no view of what we call the age of the church. Paul says it was hidden from them. God kept that from them. But now in the New Testament era, God has chosen to reveal that. And God has chosen the Apostle Paul to be that main spokesman concerning the revelation of the Lord. He says in the ages, other ages, it was not known, but now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And the thing that's being revealed is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. To a Jewish mind, this was very, very troubling. We can't comprehend how troubling that was to them, because they had been raised generation after generation that they were the people of God. Now all of a sudden, Paul, the preacher of the gospel, the missionary that he was, he reveals to them, and even the apostles began to preach to the Gentiles that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. Now the Jewish temple had a place for Gentiles, but they would never mingle, they would never mix. But now the being revealed to them that God has opened the door to Gentiles, that they would be fellow laborers together, that they would be fellow heirs. And to be an heir meant you was in the family. If you're an heir to someone, that means you are in that family. And to the Jewish mind, they had much difficulty believing that and accepting that. And that's one of the main reasons Paul was always in trouble with the Jewish people, because they regarded him as a rebel against the principles of the Lord. They regarded him as one that was turning away from God. And what does he mean, offering these things to Gentile dogs? And so Paul said it was a mystery. It had been withheld from them. Now it's being given out to them through Paul's ministry and the apostles, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise by the gospel, in Christ by the gospel. What Paul is saying here in verse number 6 is that the Gentiles are equal to the Jew. No difference. The middle wall broken down. The partition is gone. It's the same for Jew and Gentile alike. And that was a great mystery to them. And it was withheld from them. Now it's being revealed to them. And many of them rebelled against that. And so God told Abraham that he would be a blessing. And God even told Abraham in those early words there in Genesis, He said that, "I'm going to make you a blessing to all the families of the earth." Well, the Jews thought all the families of the earth just meant them. But now Paul is revealing that all the families of the earth to be blessed through Abraham is the blessing of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that was given to them, that they might be saved. And the revelation was made unto His apostles and to the prophets by the Holy Spirit. if we ever learn anything in the work of the Lord, it's not just a mental learning that we must have, but we must have the Holy Spirit that helps us. We must have the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. No individual ever understands salvation. Just that simple thing, we talk about salvation, being saved. Nobody will understand that unless the Holy Spirit opens their heart and gives them revelation as to what the Lord has done and will continue to do in and through them. And so here Paul is telling the Gentiles of Ephesus, telling the Jews of Ephesus rather, that the Gentiles are going to be partakers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a message that stands out. First of all, the Gentiles are fellow heirs. Secondly, the Gentiles should be of the same body. And then thirdly, that these were partakers of the promise. These three areas was the problem with the Jews. They could not understand why that or how that the Gentiles could be fellow heirs. They're not part of the family of the Jew. They're not a part of us. They're dogs. They're worse than dogs. And they had been given those ideas all down through history. And now all of a sudden the grace of God is brought to them and is revealed to the Gentiles that they can be saved. And when they believe upon the Lord, they become a child of God just like the Jew. And so that makes them fellow heirs. That makes them together. And so that was the one thing that God revealed through Paul. The second thing is that the Gentiles should be of the same body. That was unheard of. They'd be in the same place, the body of Christ, what we call the New Testament church. The inclusion of the Gentiles in the early churches was not without controversy. It caused a lot of problem. The book of Galatians is written primarily for the purpose of taking care of that problem, that the Jew and Gentile are saved the same way. The Jews had their rituals. They had their ordinances. Well, the Lord went to the cross of Calvary, and the Bible says He nailed those things to the cross. He fulfilled all of those things in Him. He fulfilled the law. He didn't end the law, but He fulfilled it. And now the Jew is hearing and seeing the Gentiles come, and they are now part of that same body. And then also they have that being partakers of the promise. The Jews felt very proud that they were the keepers of the promises of God. The Jews were very proud. They said, "We are of our father Abraham. We have no other father. We have no other way. We have no other understanding." And so they were very proud of their heritage. And now they're learning, and now they're seeing that the Gentile is also able to be partakers of those same promises that God gave to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Isaiah and all those others. They are now seeing that the Gentiles are part of that promise too. And Paul is trying to soothe it over and make them understand this is the plan of the Lord. None of us know the end result of God's plan for our life. I don't know the end of my life. You don't know the end of your life. We look back at it and see how God has moved and how God has taken us different ways and different places and different choices and helps us to realize we are where we are because of God's grace. But we don't know what's out in the future. And the Jews certainly did not understand the future. And Paul is trying to show them and tell them it's by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And so Paul is serving them, not only while he's in prison, but he's serving them as a preacher, as a minister, as a revealer of truth, that they might have these things present in their life, that they can experience the full joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that you can talk to a Jew, and he must hear the same gospel that I, as a Gentile, hear. It doesn't matter what country we go to, it's the same gospel. We don't assimilate our gospel into the customs and the ways of whatever country we're in. The gospel stands out. The gospel stands up and stands true, that it is a different way of salvation. No longer do we have the ordinances of the Jews. No longer do we have the laws of the Jews. No longer do we have all the things that they did daily, even the sacrifices that pointed to Calvary. And when Jesus died on Calvary's tree, all those things were fulfilled in Christ. And now they come to know the Lord just like I do. And I come to know the Lord just like a man in Spain or Africa or whatever country you want to think about. The gospel is the same gospel. Doesn't matter where we are. Maybe a different language, maybe a different style, maybe a different custom, but the gospel stands true by itself, that it is the only way to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get to heaven. Now in verse number 7, Paul says, I was made a minister. I was made a caretaker. The word minister just simply means a servant. He says, I didn't choose it. It's not my own calling. He said, I'm a minister because of the Lord, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. These are two great verses in the book of Ephesians. He says, I was made. God made him a servant, a minister, a preacher of the gospel. Paul's calling was according to God's grace, not according to his desire. It's according to the will of the Lord. Paul was called and equipped by God. The scripture gives us that Paul was on the road to Damascus. He met the Lord. And from that time on, he began to point himself toward the ministry that God had blessed him with. And there we find that Paul, by the grace of the Lord, was called of God. He did not have any man to help him. He went up to Arabia and was there taught of the Lord and given these mysteries and these things of God. His calling was according to the effectual working of His power. The word effectual means a work that will have definite work in your life. Effectual. If we talk about something be effective, that means it has dealings with us. And so here we find that Paul talks about the effectual working of His power. I do believe that God has an effectual work toward everyone. It affects our life. It affects the way we live. It affects what we do and how we talk and how we act and the whole lifestyle of individuals. And so not only was Paul called by His grace, but he was empowered by Him by the effectual call. God not only called him, but God gave him the ministry. God gave him the message. God gave him the methods for those people of that day that they would hear the message and become a believer in Christ. He was not an important person as far as Paul was concerned. He said, I'm least of the least. Paul didn't just say he was the least of the of people. He says, I'm less than the least. And so Paul recognized what he had was only because of the grace of the Lord. You and I this morning, what we have is totally because of God. We have not worked it up. We haven't worked it out. We haven't made ourselves what we are. We have not pulled ourselves up by our own will and free will. But we are what we are because, I believe, of the effectual work of the power of God. I believe it begins in salvation. God effectively calls us. God shows us who we are. He makes us to realize that we are a sinner, that we need Christ, that we need God. He affects our life because of His power, and He shows us what we really are. It's the effectual working that brings us and calls us and drives us to the Lord. And we call upon Him, and He saves us. And this is what Paul here is talking about in verse number 7 and verse number 8. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Not only by His grace, but by His effectual power, He had the ability to do what He did, to preach what He preached, to explain what He explained. And by the way, most of the doctrines that we believe this morning are a result of the writings of the Apostle Paul. God showed him the mystery, the work of the church, the ministry of the church. And we have our church doctrine because of the Apostle Paul. That mystery that the Jews didn't understand, but we have it, we understand it, we know it because of the writings of this man of God called Paul. And he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Paul said, who am I? Why would God do that? He said, I'm not just the least of all saints. He said, I'm less than the least. And so Paul's self-determination about himself was not much. He didn't consider himself very important or very much. He said, I'm less than the least. And he says, unto me is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can you imagine what it would be like, would have been like to hear the Apostle Paul preach something that he had gotten directly from the Lord? The revelation from God and him being a minister of the gospel, a caretaker of the dispensation of grace. What a great message we would have heard from Paul. He said, but I'm just least. I'm smaller than the least of the apostles, but he's been given to me the grace of God. And so Paul recognized the blessing of the Lord. Paul recognized that he was nothing, but with God he was everything. I believe Paul was overwhelmed with God's grace. I believe it overtook him with the greatness and the opportunity that had been given to him. He was privileged to preach, and he was privileged to preach the message to the Gentiles. The Bible says in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The world looks upon it as foolish. Even today, the world looks upon what we do as foolishness. But the Lord has chosen that to turn people unto Himself. Paul had that supreme privilege of preaching to the Gentiles. Paul experienced the Jews oftentimes. They rejected his message. They resisted his efforts. But the Gentiles rejoiced, and they heard, and they received with gladness the message of salvation. The Jew wanted nothing to do with it, but the Gentiles accepted it full, wholeheartedly, because Paul's message to them centered on the unsearchable riches of Christ. Who can know the riches of our Lord? Who can know the depth of God's riches to you and I? And so they heard it. That word unsearchable means unfathomable. You can't describe it. You can't get to the end of it. You can't show a value of it. It's unsearchable. There's no end to the riches of the Lord. Now, verse number nine, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. These things that are taking place with Paul's life, it's not an afterthought with the Lord. It's not something that he spur of the moment. But these are things that's in the plan of God from the very beginning of the age of the world. He says, from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He uses the word church there, that body that is a mystery to so many. And so he has sent out that all men might see the message and hear the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to have the fellowship of the ministry. He wanted them to understand that this was taking place not on the spur of the moment, but it's from God in the very beginning. From the time the world began, God had this hid in His heart. And in the process of time, now he is revealing it through Paul that the Jew and the Gentile are one new man. And they're a new man through the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we are new when it comes to salvation. He makes us a new creature. He makes us a new believer. He makes us new in all things. And so this was something that the Lord God of heaven had from the very creation of the world through the creative act of Jesus Christ. Now he's revealing it through the Apostle Paul, and Paul suffers many controversies because of that. But he is willing to serve in the capacity that the Lord has has given unto him. He says here in verse number 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is an eternal purpose. God has everything planned, and his purpose and his plan will be carried out just exactly the way he has it. And he uses peoples, he uses nations, he uses kingdoms, he uses men to be effective in that eternal purpose of the Lord. And that eternal purpose is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ one day to establish the kingdom that the disciples looked for. Are you going to establish of the kingdom now? Is this the time? And that eternal purpose of the Lord being worked out in time and process one day will be given to us as the work of the Lord. Verse number 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not in my tribulation for you, which is for your glory. Paul tells the Ephesian people, he tells those other groups, those other churches that he writes while he is in prison there in Rome. He said, I want you to know that you don't faint for my tribulation, my problems. He says, I'm doing this for you, which is for your glory, for your help, and for your understanding, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. I'm glad we can go boldly to the throne of God. I'm glad we can carry our problems. I'm glad we can carry our secrets. I'm glad we can carry every need and every problem we have. We can come boldly to God and say, God, this is where I am. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I need. Would you help me? We don't have to come shy to the Lord. He tells us to come boldly. He tells us to stand and have access with confidence. I can pray to the Lord and have confidence in my heart that God hears me and God will answer me. Every prayer that you've ever prayed, God has heard it, and he either has answered it or he will answer it. We can go to him and have access to the throne of God, and we can do that with boldness and confidence by our faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. We believe this morning. We have no problem believing that Jesus is coming. That's our faith. We have no promise believing and knowing that he knows our needs, that he knows everything about us, and he understands every care that we have. The scripture says, casting our cares upon him because he careth for us. So glad this morning he knows our needs. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our flesh. And Paul said, I'm smaller than the least, and God is using me. And if God can use Paul, the least of the least, the chief of sinners, if God can use Paul, God can use us. God can use me. God can use you. It's because we have access to the boldness of the Lord, confidence in him by faith. So Paul says, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. And so these 13 verses, Paul is explaining to them the position the Lord has put him in, and that he's nothing more than just a servant. He's nothing more than a minister, a caretaker of the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us this morning to understand we have the same calling. We have the same desire, should have, of our heart, that God has placed us as caretakers over His Word, over His work. And we're to guard it and make sure things are continuing on as they always have under the message of the doctrines and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is encouraging those Gentiles. He said, don't worry about me and my tribulation. I'm doing it for your glory. That's the heart of a servant, not for himself, but for someone else. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow to you this morning. We thank you for the words of the Lord that we have. Our God, I pray that you would help us to understand that these mysteries that are spoken of by Paul have been made known to us. Now we are recipients of your grace, and now we're to go and tell the world about the marvelous, unsearchable riches of our Lord. Father, forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us where we have faltered in this, our commission to do. But help us, Lord, in the future to do more, to tell more, and to follow you more. And may your blessings be upon us as we do that. Forgive us of our sins. Help us in our physical weaknesses. Help those that are sick this morning, the many, many that we know of that are experiencing problems. Dear Lord, we ask that you be with them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.